you. Peace be unto you. Our greetings in Islam. Assalamu alaikum. We thank the Almighty for our presence here. I'm very pleased to again be invited to address you here on the campus of the great institution, great learning, institution of higher learning, Duke University. On the, inshallah, you'll be addressing spirituality and how spirituality plays a role, great role, in fact, I think the main role in our life to make our lives better, more productive for individuals and for families and communities. The focus for Muslim unity is the whole sacred house in Mecca called Kaaba, Kaaba, cubicle house called Kaaba. It is a symbol of the unity of all mankind, regardless to nationality or anything other than our own spiritual orientation. We are the same, we are the same, we are one life. We believe in the one common life of humanity. And that life is spiritual. That's the spiritual life. We are to be united by that spiritual life. That spiritual life is the elevation of our consciousness from small things and unimportant things to bigger things and more important things in the life of society. The soul of man, the soul of man, it reaches everything that our five senses can reach and even what our five senses can't reach. Our imagination goes beyond what our five senses can reach. And seeking and stretching our minds to know what is life, what is the role of life, what purpose have I been created for, etc. Such questions opens up the mind but also expands the soul. And if we are sincere and truthful, our consciousness will be elevated to the heaven of our soul, to the heaven of our soul, as high as the human mind and spirit can go. Unlimited ascension for the soul of mankind. Most important is purity. Purity. Muhammad the Prophet was sent to guide us into purity. This is referring to purity of intentions, intend to be right, intend to be decent, intend to be truthful. Having righteous intentions is all that God asks of us. And those righteous intentions elevates the soul, expands the mind. And getting back to our common bond, the common bond of life for us is the spiritual life. We differ physically in color, size, shape, etc. And but in terms of the soul, we don't differ. The soul of every human being was the same. We change our own souls by our choices in the world. Our souls change. But we are all born with the same soul. We may be born with different features, the features of Japanese or Asian, features of an Englishman. We're born with all these different features, but when it comes to the soul, we are essentially one. Nafsan wahida is the expression in Arabic in the Quran. One single soul. From one single soul, God created us all or made us all. And when we come into the, I would call, the come into the citizenry of all people, and become honorary citizen of all nations, we have become one soul again. We are universal. But as long as you shut out some people and you don't like them, some races, not because you had any personal experience with them that made you reject them, but you reject them because they belong to a particular group, that kind of idea and thinking will never permit us to come into that one soul where we are in peace with ourselves, at peace with others who have good intentions, even if they don't have good intentions. We want good for them. When we come into that state, we have become aware, we have been awakened in our consciousness that God wants for us, taqwa, consciousness, religious consciousness for Muslims is taqwa. And taqwa is respect first for God. The belief that we didn't come here by ourselves or of our own, we couldn't have created ourselves, that something has done this for us, and we are owing something to that cause that brought all of us into existence. And the more we think about it, the more we see that we owe everything. We owe our life, because the world, if we accept that the world is made by that same one, then, and us too, made by the same one, then all the possibilities for us to grow better and become more valuable and more productive is owing to the God that made the world and made us, made the world for us and made us for the world. The productive people of this planet Earth, they have accepted to be citizens of the humanity, citizens of humanity. And that citizenship is before our national citizenship. It's more important than our national citizenship, if we understand it. and all other identities should be built upon that identity. I should see my race supported by my identity as a human person, as a person of human decency, common life with all other people. I should see that identity as the support for other identities. If I want to build upon my nationality, I should build upon my nationality with appreciation for my life, for my human life in its excellence, more than my appreciation for my political persuasion or even for my racial ambitions. The aspirations of my race. Nothing is more important than the life of the original soul created by God. In the religion we call Adam in his perfect state. Nothing is more important for us to identify in than that. All of us identify in that, we can have peace, we can develop our consciousness better, and we can realize a much more richer spirituality. When Islam was preached in Arabia by our Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, he began by showing the people the central focus, our center, the Kaaba. The Kaaba is a symbol, I repeat, a symbol of the unity of mankind. And he once said, when some people were planning to build a house of worship, a mosque, a masjid, and they didn't have right intentions. So the Prophet told them that it was revealed, in fact, that the only house fit to pray in or to worship God in is that one built upon the foundation of taqwa, which is the foundation of that consciousness that we are addressing right now. That innocent consciousness, that desire in us to want to live a life that is honorable, decent, truthful, and it begins with respect or consciousness for God, and then for everything else. God says, and reverence God. And the word that's used is taqwa. It's taqillah from taqwa. Says reverence God, but also the family ties. The family ties. We have to reverence the family ties. So it's much like the religions of Judaism and Christianity, Islam is. It wants us to have sacred respect for family ties, to honor our mothers and fathers, our parents. And this is the life that if we accept it and grow in it, seek God more and more, seek truth more and more, seek to know what your purpose is on this planet, why you are existing, seek such answers, and you will become closer and closer to the truth and closer to your own reality. And when we come face to face with our own reality, we have really seen God. This is the teachings of the mystics, also the teachings of our prophet. When we come face to face with our own reality, we have seen God. Because when you know what you are not, then you know yourself. When you know what you are and what you are not. And if we come to face to face with our own reality, we will know that we are not God. We are no God. We are human beings. But we are a special creation because of our free will and our intellect that can question things, even question our own habits of life, question our own nature. And we can reject our own nature. Other creatures can't do that. They can't question their own nature and reject their own nature. They live the life that was designed for them by creation, by God, with creation, and that's it. They can't make any other choice. They have to live that life. But if we don't want to live the life of a human being, we don't have to. We don't want to live that life, we choose to live some other life. The life of a dog, the life of a wolf, a ape or something. We can imitate whatever we want to imitate. We can come out of the human form. But when we choose to stay in the human form and seek the excellence of the human form and want to grow more excellent, more and more excellent, we eventually come to know ourselves and our excellence, and we come to know our limitations, and we come to really give credit to the one that caused all things to be, the world and us. And when we have that spirituality, we are in good situation then to survive all kinds of trouble for the individual, for the family, for the community. God has made this life that I'm addressing now, it's a consciousness, it's the elevation of our moral life. The morals get better and better, better qualities for the moral life. When we accept that life, then we have an equality too. We have an equality that is good for us, equality with all good people. We are all equal, not in intellect. Some of us are superior, some inferior. But in this consciousness, we all can ascend to the highest position in the world of human consciousness, or the circle of human consciousness. We can ascend to the highest position. You don't have to be educated and formally educated in this world to do that. You only have to accept your good moral nature, respect it, and build upon it, and trust it. Trust your good moral nature, and you grow and grow and grow. And it is that growth that best situates us to grow in all other ways. We have this in the religion, and both religions. In fact, all three of the heavenly religions, we call them Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. In the story of Joseph, Joseph was rejected by his brothers. His brothers tried to put him away from them, and they did. He ended up in Egypt. But the Pharaoh, the Egyptian leaders, they discovered in Joseph something that was priceless, his moral excellence. And they gave him a high position over the storehouses. They trusted him to be over the storehouses. And Egypt at that time was the richest, most productive, the richest of all the nations. So everybody was coming to Egypt for help, and especially for food. So one day, Joseph's brothers came to Egypt for help. And they had forgot about him. He had to remind them that he was their brother. He didn't turn them down. They had sold him into slavery, rejected him, lied to their father about his circumstances, his fate, what happened to him. He said, some animals. They say, here's his shirt. It's got animal blood on it to make his father think that he was killed by some animals, devoured by animals. They had done all those things, but Joseph didn't reject them, refused to give them rations or food, supply their needs with the food. He gave them food. He asked about his brother Benjamin, and he gave them food. So here is a nation welcoming a moral person because of his moral excellence into the government in a high position, but he was trusted to be over the storehouses. Distribution of food or whatever, I guess. I think that has more meaning than just food, much more meaning than just food. So that is to tell us that the most valuable achievement for a human person is moral excellence. And we know no matter how much education you have, and I'm not knocking education, because education really permits you to do all the wonderful things, but without the moral nature, you may create hell for yourself and hell for others. You may end up bringing your own life down. I've known people that have gone to school, achieved degrees, and just a little thing, troubled them, and they just fell down, couldn't stand up anymore. Became habitual drunks, lost their respect for life, for their own life. That can happen. But if your life, your moral life is saved, then everything else will be saved. Your moral life is saved, your intellect is saved. You're saved for your profession. You're saved for your work in this world. So ultimately, it is the moral factor. That determines the fate of individuals, families, and the world. If we were having more quality moral life in our families would be in good condition. We wouldn't have so many families in the condition that they're in now, the pitiful state that they're in now. And so it is for individuals, so it is for communities. If we would purify our spirit and seek more quality for our moral life as a race, African Americans now, I'm talking about, as a people, African Americans, our communities would get a new life. Our communities would come into a new life. We would become productive. We think, well, this great production that the United States has is owing to our scientists and to our great industrialists, etc. No, it's owing to the excellence in this society that have opened up the minds of people, made them more respectful of things that do respect, that should be given respect, and because of this higher appreciation of human life and many things that benefit human life, we have this great production. It's because of loyalty to higher principles, because of appreciation for human life and its excellence, that these industrialists and others are working to serve man, serve American citizens, with a better environment, a better life. And when they don't care, they produce hell for themselves and for us. But those that care about human life, they give us environments that take burden off us and free us to have a virtual heaven almost on earth. And we can have that. I do believe that we can have a heaven on earth if we would just all agree in the life that is most important for us, and that is the spiritual life that God wants us to be one in, to be one people in, one accord, one people, in one spiritual life, a life of moral excellence. Again, I go back to the prophet, where God says that he has sent him to us to purify us and to lead us out of darkness into the light. So the darkness of ignorance, the darkness of moral corruption, into the light, into the light. But first, we must purify ourselves. This is no spooky exercise. It just means intending to be good, intending to be truthful, intending to be a decent human being, and working at it, and realizing that that life loss will cause you to lose everything eventually. The role of that spirituality is to have us appreciate the best standards, best moral standards of mankind. Best moral standards of mankind. A people should be judged not by individuals, but by their collective performance. And as a people, we perform excellently. We perform very well. We have individuals that make trouble, sometimes groups, small groups that make trouble, but as a national body, we perform better, very well. That condition, that spirituality in us, I believe, is what have moved us to go against racism, and go against the mistreatment of the little fella, of the minority by the majority, until we have come to what we have now in this country, protection for minority, minority rights, inclusion, and a dignity, a new dignity that we all have in this country as human beings. In spite of the culture that is wayward, astray from that purity that we should have. That's a test, and we want progress if we don't have a test. We welcome challenges. The more the soul is challenged, the more the potential, the good potential in the soul is brought out. So I believe this is a testing ground. It's a land of opportunity and a land of challenge. I wouldn't change it. Myself, I wouldn't change a thing. It's good for us. I love it, you know. I love a challenge. In fact, if the devil wanted to come in my house, he can live with me. I done got tough enough to go to sleep while he's in my house. And believe me, he might be in your house tonight. So we have to follow universal standards of decency. The words in Arabic is Ra'mil bil Ma'ruf. And guide your life, order your life by the highest known standards of mankind. So we should always aim for the best. And then we will grow in excellence, steadily in excellence, and not fall. To promote a sense of origin in the human beings' excellence. We human beings evolved from inferior creatures, despicable creatures. This is told us too in scripture. But the aim in the human nature, in the human life, is for excellence, just like it is in everything else. The aim in matter is for excellence. That's why it has evolved to more and more excellence and beauty and order. So to identify in that original life is what promoting this spirituality will do. It will bring more of us to identify in that life and be comfortable with one another and care for each other as members of the same family, because that's what we are. All of us are members of one human family. The Muslims are members in the Muslim family. But the Muslims were not guided by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, to identify firstly as Muslim in the human family, pardon me, Muslim in some particular religious sense. But he wanted us to identify as Muslims in the universal sense, that we are Muslims by nature, he said. Muslims by nature. We are born, every child is created a Muslim. So this Muslim has to be understood in two definitions. The first definition, the most important definition, is that to be Muslim is to be in your best condition as a human person created by God, like a baby come here with no evil design on the world. The baby learns that from us. So if we are in our original nature that God gave us, before it is fall by mistakes we made, we are in the true Muslim identity. Then we have the informed Muslim, the Muslim that's educated in the religion, with Quran and with the life of our Prophet, we're educated in the religion. Then we become learned Muslims, Muslims conscious of the disciplines, the revealed disciplines for Muslim life. But without the first condition, the other one will not stay good. It will also deteriorate and become a great trouble for us. And when you look at the world of Muslims and you see how we are so divided and how we are not pursuing human excellence, and in most of the Muslim world we are not pursuing human excellence, then you can understand why now, if you accept what I've just said. It is because we have lost the first life. The first life is excellent human life that God created for us. We've lost the first life, and we are in these bodies, and we are disconnected, not attached anymore to the lifeline that God really created for us. this life, this spirituality, it influenced production more than anything else. If you want to produce materially, African-American people, African-American community, if you want to become a people producing materially, having businesses, flourishing business in your neighborhoods, in your community, grow in moral excellence and grow an appreciation for the common human excellence that we find all over the world. All people have it. All people have it. And you will see that God will be with you, and your own good nature will be supporting you, and you'll become much more productive. This is not given for African-American people, but I can't help but mention that we are failing as a community. We fail our neighborhoods. We leave our neighborhoods to others to supply our neighborhoods, the residents of the neighborhood, with everything. And we just go our own separate ways, not caring. We are satisfied just to have a residency somewhere, but we don't want responsibility to serve the residents. Other people are not like that. The Mexicans, I go through their neighborhood, I see so many businesses run by Mexicans. I see Mexican business life, Spanish business life, or Mexican business life. I see it alive, it's alive, it's alive. But when I come to my neighborhood, I can hardly find any sign that the business life of African-American people is alive. It seems to be dead. It's dead because we are not really in touch with our human excellence, and we are not building quality moral life. Thank you very much. Peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you. Imam Muhammad has agreed to entertain questions. If you have questions, we invite you to come to the microphone to your left, my right, and he will address them.
I might need some help to hear the questions. If you stand, the sound carries better here. If they have a mic, please go to the mic with your question. I don't see one, but the mic is... Okay, there's, now I see it, yeah. There's a mic here, and there's a mic over here. I see them now. So if you come to the mic, and I hope I can hear you. On the planes, when I have a head cold, my ears stop up. The hearing is not the best anyway. Now I have that condition from the plane too. It's still there a little bit. So I hope I can hear your question. If not, the imam is here to help me understand your question or tell me exactly what you said or what your question is.
Imam Muhammad, I'm Ernest Heidhauer from Charlotte at the Islamic Center.
Yes.
I actually have a request. I've talked with my family about this, but I've been given the attribute by my wife as the encouragement. And what I'd like to know is if you could help me with an Arabic situation that I can use. Not that I want to change my name to anything, but I would like to know if you could help me with an Arabic attribute for that. Anyway, for the encouragement, because that's what I intend to do, that's what I do for myself and others. Mm-hmm. And I intend to make sure a lot of you as long as I live, but I haven't been able to find an Arabic terminology for the encouragement. And if
any way
possible,
you
can give me that.
And if you don't need, I can think of some things, but I need more time. I can think of some, but I'm not that comfortable with what is coming to my mind right now. If you leave a mailing address with the imam here, Imam Wahid, I'm sure I can find the word that actually says exactly what you are looking for, the encourager.
Thank you very much.
Yes, and I'll mail it to you.
Thank you very much.
Most welcome. Alaikum assalam.
Assalamu
alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. I'm from Virginia Commonwealth University. You spoke a lot about the African-American community and them maintaining moral character.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to know, as a Muslim woman, like from I'm myself a African-American, I'm a Fox 9 descent. I wanted to know what the role of Muslims who are from Pakistan, how Indonesia and Pakistan, many countries have been spent in America's African-American community,
which I believe is the one large
Muslims in America.
Mm-hmm. What role can he play in stressing? Yes. Our Prophet, he said, help your brother whether he's in the wrong or in the right. And the question was asked, they said, how are we to help our brother when he's in the wrong? And the Prophet said, help him by holding him back from wrong, you know? So we are one brotherhood. Muslims are one family. And it doesn't matter whether you're Pakistani or Egyptian or whatever. If you see your brothers having problems, serious problems with their life, and you can help them, you should help them. And I'd rather be rejected by my brother than to pretend to not see his faults that's bringing him down and keeping him down.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalam.
I'm sure I'm not
asking
on the street. I have two questions. You were talking about Joseph, you said, distribution of food could be more than your pain.
Yes.
You
want to
ask the second question,
and
let you answer that first.
Yeah, well, I can respond to that right now.
Yes, sir.
Yes, in scripture, food is food for the body and also food for the mind. Food for the body and food for the mind. So that to feed.
Joseph was not only given food for the body, for the material body is our flesh, but given food also, he's put in position also to give food for the mind. That is to teach and expand the mind of the people, to assist the mind of the people so that they grow wiser, more intelligently, and become more productive. So the more important understanding, I think, would be that Joseph became, that the Egyptians put him in charge of the storehouse, meaning that he was in charge of assisting people with their mental needs.
Being to all
from
sacred creatures,
you said, sent this description. What do you mean by what's the reference? The sequel? Refers to the evolution of man. Man in the beginning of his rise as a life form. Was much like animal. Man did not have a human intelligence. He had a human body, but he had to grow into human intelligence. From an animal, he became a man, a human being. And some of us are animals right now. You know, that's the evidence of that is still around. I didn't quite hear.
You were saying this was shown as in scripture. I was asking for a reference.
Yes. There are several references. You evolved from a fluid despised. You evolved from a fluid despised. This is the Quran. A fluid despised. If something is despised, it's despicable, at least in the opinion of the one that's despising it. Yes. There are other references to the inferior beginning of human life. We begin from inferiority and we grow in excellence, but we begin as inferior creatures. This is science and this is religion, both. Most welcome. Alaykum as-salam. Alhamdulillah. For a model of Muslim life in society, what's most important for it is that the people be community-minded, community-minded. Muslims are a community. That's what God says of us in the Quran. We are a community. And we are to think community. We're not to think individualism. We don't support individualism. That's most important. We have to have a spirit for community life, to want to see community life, family life, community life, grow better and better, better and better. And we have to understand that everything comes out of the ground, out of the earth. Human life evolved on the earth. Our needs are in the earth. As Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, we need land. The land provides us with food, clothing, shelter, and a place to have our family, our order, our family and our community. So land is much very important. So we shouldn't go after money for money's sake, but we should want to become good business people. A community has to have strong business. If you don't have strong business life, you don't have much of a community at all. And we don't want to be begging, depending on others, for what others are providing for to themselves or for themselves. Muhammad the Prophet says, a hand that is given is better than the hand that's begging. The hand that is giving is better than the hand that's begging, or higher above the hand that's begging. This is what Muhammad the Prophet said. You know, we are obligated to give in charity to the beggars, to the poor, to those who ask for things. But Muhammad didn't, peace and blessings be on him, he didn't leave us to think that the person in that state, in that condition, to think that that's an honorable life. No, that's not an honorable life, begging. The Prophet wants to see us all producing, having income, lawful income, producing, not begging. And we have to have communities that are not looking for other communities to give us money or to donate to us to develop it. No, we don't want any charity to develop our community. We want to develop our communities with our own ingenuity, industry and intelligence. We want to develop our community, our communities. So the first thing is to see our needs and to see our honor. God says that He has created every human being with honor. He has made us noble creatures, honorable creatures. But we have to awaken to that nobility and respect it. And the first thing we should do is not accept that others produce in their neighborhoods and we produce nothing, just live in our neighborhoods. You should want to have a mosque. But having a place to pray is not... Muhammad the Prophet didn't build expensive mosques. The mosques were very simple buildings for the believers to pray in. Didn't waste a lot of money like they came to do later, putting gold all up in the ceilings and everywhere, and the masses, the majority of the people all around, everywhere in the city, poor and begging, and gold all up in the ceilings and everywhere. Inside as decoration. Muhammad the Prophet didn't start that. He didn't do that. So we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't put a lot of money in building a place for us to do nothing but pray, come there and pray, and not put money in the building so we can have an elementary school, a preschool, an elementary school to give Muslim children good life and good education and good environment for their learning. We should put that first. We can pray on the ground outside of the school. But it's easy to have just a little space in the school, isn't it? Build a school building and have a room in the school to make prayers. And if you're so hung up on having an Eastern-style mosque built, then make the school look like Islam. Put a minaret on the corner of the school. First things first. Take care of the most important things first. And we know education is sacred for Muslims. To get an education is a sacred duty for all Muslims. So I've said a little bit on that, and there's much more I would like to say. But eventually, we'd like to have a place for social activities, for weddings, for childbirth, celebrate childbirth, for banquets, to socialize. We have to like to have some place for our youngsters to enjoy themselves, skating, games, etc., tennis and all that. We should think of these things that help life, these things that help make life good, healthy and pleasant, and not leave out any of those things that are necessary for a healthy and pleasant life for our youngsters and also for our senior citizens. We need to give them an environment that will be good. So we have to have a model plan, and we can do it. I don't have to do it for you. I'm not the one to do it alone. I have ideas and some knowledge and some skills too. I'm a welder. I can do a lot of welding for you. If you need me, call me. I'll come to your city if I can find some time. You can't pay me. You won't be able to pay me. I'll tell you that right now. Because you all have blessed me to get in position. I make big money. Big responsibilities too. The more money I get, the more responsibility I step. I do a lot with my money. I do a lot of good with my money. But my salary would have to be like $1,000 an hour. You can't pay me that. But I would love to well. I just might come and weld for nothing. That's what I'd like to do. Come and do some welding for nothing. I'm a combination welder, very good welder. I work for big companies. Bethlehem Steel, got my first job with them. Bethlehem Steel. And I started in a small job shop. They gave me a lot of good experience. I was trained to do all phases of welding. And I like that. You can tell the way I'm mentioning it to you that I like it. A man, real masculinity, loves to do man's work. You know? It requires man work. You enjoy your man nature, your man's nature, when you're doing a man's job. I like to do a man's job. Okay, the next question. Yes, we have another question.
Good evening.
Alaikum assalam.
My name is Bobby. I'm from Fayetteville, North Carolina. And I would like to, first of all, just thank you for your tireless efforts and your continued work and all that you do. Thank you. My question is, in society, I'm sure I, as well as many others, would agree that there has been a serious decline in morality in American society. And perhaps the world.
Yes.
I'm more familiar with American society.
Yes.
And what role do you see in the future, out of the road, in sending this tide of moral decadence and decay? What is the Muslim road as you see in the future?
Yes. In the Quran, God shows us, gives us a parable, and the parable goes like this. It says, you see a town with its buildings neglected, the roofs caving in, and that town is renewed. It says it is like a resurrection. It is like a resurrection. So he gives us a parable of our own resurrection by showing us the resurrection of a town that was neglected. And people came and they weren't accepted to stay in that state, and they renewed that town. They built its buildings up, made it beautiful. And it is a parable of our resurrection, the resurrection of the dead. Yes. So trying to address your question. The second question, part of your question?
My question is,
what role can we play?
Yeah, Muslims can play to stem the tide of moral decline and decadence that we see.
Yes.
And what strategies perhaps would you recommend?
Yes, I understand.
I think if we just work on our own lives, and if we can change the state of Black America, African Americans in this country, and bring us to be more productive in our neighborhoods and more responsible, I think that would have more influence, more power for changing the moral climate in America than anything else. I think when other nationalities hear about that, they say, wow, are those Blacks, have they changed that much? Are they really changed that much? They'd be coming to us to look at us, coming to our community just to look at us. I think we can change America for the better more than anything else that can happen. I think if the right thing happened in the Black people's life, it'll go on to benefit everybody in this country. And maybe in the whole world.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
I'm also from Fayetteville, Massachusetts, Ibn Sayed.
Yes, sir.
I work as a volunteer in the Department of Correction prison system.
Yes.
And I was kind of touched on Sunday of the year when a young brother came up and asked questions.
The football was absolutely excellent. You may imagine me, I'll send this greetings.
Thank you. Return to greetings from the city.
I will. Assalamu alaikum. And the young brother, there's approximately 65 brothers at the Scotland Correctional Facility.
Mm-hmm.
And his question was, what is his role? How is he to receive the message that is being delivered? He's 25 years old and he has 17 years to do. And out of the 65 that we're dealing with on a weekly basis, I would say there's not over 10 that's over 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My observation is basically what you said today is the fact that our community is completely in a chaos with morality. Therefore, we do as we please and we get the results that we get.
Yes.
What message could you help me with in delivering to some of these brothers? The only thing that I can suggest is if you got 17 years, you got a lot of time to write to neighbors, brothers, sisters, and advise them of the things that it took him down the back to the But what message would you help them with tonight to take back to the prison?
Yes, he's a Muslim, right?
Yes, sir.
He accepted Islam?
Yes, sir.
Did he accept the religion after he was convicted or before? Was he a Muslim when he was convicted?
I'm assuming that he accepted Islam while incarcerated.
While incarcerated. Okay. That's what I thought, too. I kind of felt that from what you were saying. I thought he perhaps accepted the religion while incarcerated. Since he has a chaplain like yourself to help him with his religious growth, tell him that he should, since he can't do with his body what he wants to do with it, tell him to do with his mind what he can do with it, devote his mind to improving upon his life, personal life, so when he get out, he will be more useful to the Muslim society and to the society at large. Tell him if he really concentrates on doing that, building up his life as a good Muslim and learning whatever he can learn that will be useful for him and others when he come out of prison, the time will go fast, the time will pass fast, and we will be waiting on him to come out and be a positive factor in our community.
One second question. With not Bill Bridges, but the immigrants or the Muslims from abroad, and just recently one of my close associates' wife returned to Allah, And the question I have is that his daughter put a picture, his daughter's a senior, she's in Capitol Hill,
put a picture of her mother on the front of the, well, the eulogy of the, and one of the relevant communities criticized her house coming from the African American community. On the other hand,
was at that time stepping in the store, which he sold halal products, alcohol, wine, beer, etc.
I see.
At that point, I didn't want to say in the Susan and the Quran, you can endure my conduct on someone to build a practice yourself.
Because I'm actually trying to, at the same time, build bridges. But how would you address that issue with he and the other Muslims in that community?
I think you can handle that yourself. You don't need my help.
Yes, I believe we'll go here and then come back this way.
Yes, good evening. My name
good
is
evening.
Martha Jones, and I'm the North Carolina Project Director. It's kind of funny that I'm speaking behind this brother, because I'm a lobbyist for Senate to reform as many laws that proportionally affect the African American community. And you spoke a lot of the community. Harry James, my father said, thank you for bringing this panel here. But you spoke a lot about the community. And the African American community is really in a moral diaspora. An immoral diaspora in all sectors of us are falling short. And the ones who are suffering are the children. So I need some clarity here, because you spoke a lot about the Muslim society, the Muslim society. But if we want to attack the problem in the African American community as a whole, it's going to take the whole African American community and not just one sector. And I want to make sure that where we're going to be, that we can work together. African-American Muslim, African-American Christian, African-American non-believer to uplift our community, because we can't do it alone and our children are dying. And I want to make sure that's the message that I receive, because I appreciate what you said, because our businesses are not existing in our community, and that's a major problem, because we have no economic development, and the only thing we have is immorality, pimps, pushers, and rappers in our community. But would you agree with me that it's going to take all of us to correct this problem?
Yes.
Muslims and Christians.
Yes.
Thank you.
And we are anxious to work with Muslims and Jews and whoever.
For the upliftment.
Right. I mean, with Christian Jews and whoever. We were, yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. And certainly with Christians, because most of us in the neighborhood are Christians. My neighbors are Christians. And they're very good neighbors too. I love them very much.
And the only reason why I said that is because of the work that I do. It's as though it's a big divide in our community.
Yes.
When Muslims have an event, Muslims come and Christians don't show. When Christians have an event, Christians come and Muslims don't show. But the issues affect all of us in our community. And some kind of way we have to break those barriers if we want to survive.
We don't change that. And it's changing some for our community. I know it's changing.
Right. And we have to do that across the board, because instead of going to schools in North Carolina, they're going to prison. And we still need to set more. So as you said, for children's test scores who fail at third grade level. So together we have to address this problem.
We know.
Thank you.
God is with us. We will.
Yes, sister. I think
yes. I believe this is the next event I'll be back to
how do you feel about what role do you feel that Mission Vision has led by Mission Luke's first one explained in his moral environment to me? Mm-hmm. You actually have been involved in America.
Yes.
Farrakhan very well. We were friends in the Nation of Islam, close friends in the Nation of Islam, and that friendship is still there, you know. We love each other. We respect each other. We love each other. But we differ. We do have serious differences. how we are to promote progress in the African-American community. We have some serious differences. But I must say this, as a leader of the Nation of Islam, Minister Farrakhan, in my opinion, have made great progress for the Nation of Islam. And when I speak of great progress, I don't mean all the, what he does to help us, those young men, get their life in order and become productive. I'm talking also about the image of the Nation of Islam. He has really softened the image or position of the Nation of Islam regarding race consciousness and also attitude toward government. But the paper, the newspaper, to me, is still anti-government, and that's what I'm not comfortable with. Seems to be anti-government. You know, if you criticize, I feel as a citizen of these United States, if we want our citizenship, if we criticize our government, we should criticize our government in the interest of seeing our government become better, not to put our government down. That's what I don't like. But I think Farrakhan has good intentions, and I know many of his people, they have come a long ways and made a lot of progress as Muslims. Yes, sister. I'm sorry now.
Yes,
can you
speak a little loud? Maybe
back a little bit.
2 inches back from the mic.
Right.
Okay. Good evening, Your Honor.
Yes.
And I got in here at Village Land Resort, Red Song.
Okay, yes.
When I'm working with the old people in my conversations and everything, I kind of feel guilty sometimes. Mm-hmm. Because it's hard to just carry kind of conversations. And older people in my family also, it's hard to carry kind of conversations with them. I don't know, what's your answer on it? What can I do to kind of, enrich them, mm-hmm. I don't want to make them feel.
Some of them is best for you just to wait till they want to talk. Yes, you're a very good person and sensitive person. You want to help people, and God will bless you to know how to do your job. And I think you're doing an excellent job. Just on what you were saying to me and your sensitivity, I think you're an excellent person to be working with them.
Thank you.
Maybe you'll be a doctor or a nurse or something. Maybe you'll be a community leader one day. Who knows?
Thank you.
Thank you. Alaykum as-salam.
I have a question too. In recent weeks, I've been looking at Virginia. We have a transition home. And I want to know where you're standing and what that one. And then secondly, if it's something that you would encourage or support. Well, I mean, encourage or support. A lot of times, when people in prison, people think that they need some very respectful God or whatever phenomenon they go through. They think that jail has a cost. But what I have found in my experience is that a lot of people come off to a prison, and they make a transition and they're succeeding. but they don't want to go back to their grandmother that they came from. But they have to go back to non-Islamic institutions, you know, transition home, and they have to pretty much denounce Islam. And they have to follow the practice of denomination other than Islam. So we don't have any Islamic transition home, so a lot of the lessons we have are there.
Yes.
Until we can ourselves provide facilities for them, there's nothing more we can do than just to give them our friendship, our brotherly, encourage them as their brothers, spend as much time as you can with them, and also visit the facility where they are, and how, we don't know, maybe you can reach the people who own the facility and win their friendship, and you know, they don't know what he a Muslim, maybe they don't know the kind of Muslim he is, you know. Maybe if you let them know, have them know more about true Muslims, maybe they respect his religion and won't insist that he do things that he shouldn't do that would be against his religion, you know. I don't know. We have had Muslims in our area taken into shelters, and they haven't tried to make it difficult for them to practice their religion or to be Muslims, you know. But I know there are some facilities that would want them to change their life, to change their religion. So maybe we can reach them and talk to them and show them that we don't want Christians, good Christians, to change their religion. We want them to be comfortable in their religion. If they are Christians, we don't want to make them uncomfortable. We won't force our religion on anybody, you know. That would be against Islam to do that. So if they know us better, maybe they will won't be afraid of the Muslim coming among them. You never can tell. They could be made, what's bothering them? They could be moved by fear of the Muslim, and they not trust the Muslim, and they may think that his religion is bad for him, you know, and they want to convert him to Christianity. I don't know. But I think we should try to make friends with those people, if we can, and stay with the brother. And every day, if have somebody talk to him every day to see how he's doing in the facility. Yes, sir. You're welcome. Yes, sir. Okay, that's fine.
Alaykum
as salam.
Been staying with the prophet, and they should be married because he's set a religion of faith. I was wondering if you could tie that into the subject of the development of spirituality.
Well, you know, the pious people, the saintly people, they develop their spirituality. They concentrate on developing spirituality. I see that as half the religion. And the other half is accepting responsibility for family life, and community life. And that's the other half, you know. That's the other half of the religion. So to marry, the prophet said, peace be on him, is half of our religion. It means to accept responsibility for family life, accept responsibility for community life, share that responsibility. For its businesses, et cetera, you know. And marrying is a protection. Say that marrying is a protection for us. The female is protected when married lawfully from being seen as an indecent woman, and we are protected from being seen as an indecent man when we are married. So married life also protects the society, keeps it decent. When you marry and be faithful, lawful, keeps the society decent. So we should understand it that way, I think, you know.
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome, sir.
As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam.
I came a little later.
Yes.
There seems to be in certain areas of the country, there is a large gap between African American Muslim communities and
is within the community, the Muslim community, and doing this in practice, what do you feel is something that students can benefit from each other? Perhaps the African Americans can help and learn from the African American Muslim community and vice versa. But that's something, you know, as another brother mentioned, the little conflict between the two, you know, small practices. What do you feel is a good way of quelling any small practices and going through larger divides?
In my experience with Muslim organizations and the African American Muslim organization, I represent African American Muslim organization, but I also have ties with Pakistani imams in Chicago. We should seek to improve our opportunities to work with each other. With the leaders, by using our leaders, we should have our leaders meet with each other and discuss our relationship and discuss ways of improving our relationship. That should come from the top. But for all of us, we must accept that we are one family. Muslims are one family. We love a brother for his Islam. And we don't care what color he is. He become more beloved in our eyes than an African black brother like us. If the African black brother is not as beautiful in his Muslim picture as the brother who's not African American. And this is just being true to our own human nature, you know. If you're true to your own human nature, you don't see a brother's at a national picture or ethnic picture when you come to know him as a good Muslim. You see nothing but another good Muslim, you know. So I say to all of us, let us accept our brothers and don't be so quick to find fault with each other. This is against any religion. Will tell us not to be fault finders. Don't seek to find fault, to criticize each other, but look for good and build upon good. That's what we should do. We should look for good in each other, build upon the good. You're welcome. All right, I believe that's this, Brother Imam. Yes. Our lady, will you come here now and take over? I don't know what to do at this point, but sit down.
We know we can do, and we can offer a round of applause for your presence with us tonight. And I know what I can do, and that is to thank you for your presence tonight. Thank you for those stimulating questions and the conversation. There's a reason why the lecture was this evening, so that you can marinate on what has been said in your mind and in your hearts and in your spirit. We knew it would take more than one day to absorb all that's been said here tonight, so we want you to go home, get some rest, think about what has been said, and come back tomorrow for the second part, day two of Imam Muhammad's time with us here on Duke University's campus. You are all welcomed and invited to a luncheon discussion at the Mary Lou Williams Center beginning at noon tomorrow, where Imam Muhammad, along with the Reverend Dr. William C. Turner from the Divinity School, will talk on this topic, America's Racial Terrain, in the wake of the 50th anniversary of Brown versus the Board of Education. You don't want to miss it. Take your lunch hour and be with us. It's going to be great food and even more wonderful conversation. And then you can stick around if you are available. One of the reasons that Imam Muhammad's with us here on campus is so that he can engage the students in conversation, and that will take place tomorrow afternoon beginning at 2 o'clock with a panel discussion and symposium looking at raising up moral leadership and educating moral leadership, looking at the next generation. So he will be on the panel along with Duke students, recent graduates, and young adults of various faith traditions, and we invite you to be there so that you can again be engaged in the conversation. I'd be remiss if I didn't highlight again our sponsors for our event. Our sponsors here on campus are listed on your program. I do want to thank again our external sponsors, and those are Party Cakes Catering, who will cater our event tomorrow, members of the Ar-Razaz Islamic Center, the Ar-Salam Islamic Center, members of the Ash-Shahid Islamic Center, along with SIMSEF and Trinity College here on campus and the Department of Arts and Sciences. Thank you all for your participation, your financial contributions, your support for this effort. Please go forth in peace as we look to see you tomorrow. Thank you and good night.
Omar.